Rector Katz.
Turn your microphone on.
Microphone's not on.
Not working.
Can invent the best microphone that works. Neutered, Paul. Okay, call the roll.
Director Du Bois. Director Katz.
Hear you.
Director Katz. Director Fasana.
Here.
Director Reyes.
Here.
Director Kanabi.
Here.
Director Najarian.
Here.
Director Ridley Thomas. Director Director Wilson. Director Yaroslavsky. And Chair Antonovich.
Chair.
Director Miles. A quorum is present.
Okay, quorum is present. Supervisor Yaroslavsky, lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Let me first state that item 76, the I-405 and Metro Orange Line chronology status update is going to be continued to the November meeting. Now we have the consent calendar before us.
Move approval.
So without objection, so ordered on that. Okay, on the consent item, I am conflicted on 31 and 33. Supervisor Kanabi is conflicted on which? Ms. Reyes abstaining on item 12. Conflicts, Mel? Any conflicts? We have 7 votes for those who are without conflicts. Check. No, 31 and 33, I'd be conflicted. So why don't I have Najarian move and Fasana second, because they have no conflicts, to approve all the items, and then those with conflicts and abstentions will be so noted, and then the clerk will tell us which of those will be placed on hold until we have 7 votes.
If you take your name off, there aren't seven votes for conflict. There'd only be six votes.
Okay, those items, Michelle report, which have passed or, and will be placed on the table. All the items passed?
Except for 33.
Okay, item 33 will be on the table. The others have been approved, so ordered. Let me first state that offer some comments, and we discussed this with Caltrans and discussed it with Mr. Leahy and our county council. Based on the low performance characteristics of some of the alternative concepts and their high potential for generating significant and avoidable environmental and community impacts, the 710 stub to the 2 and the 134 freeways through San Rafael along Avenue 64 and other insensitive routes are all off the table. The only following alternatives which will be advanced for the detailed study in the draft environment document is the no-build, the traffic system management, TSM, transportation demand management, TDM, bus rapid transit alternative 6 with further refinements, light rail transit alternative 4 with further refinements, and freeway tunnel alternative 7. Metro and Caltrans concur that the low performance or most environmentally damaging alternatives merit no study. These nonsensical options had been the result of Congressman Schiff's demand that review process be route neutral, which led to a study of options all over the place connecting the 710 to the 2, the 134, and even the 605 freeways. Caltrans now has only those five options, which will be carried through the remainder of the environment process that I had previously mentioned. The Metrolink Board, and I'll have Mr. Katz make a comment at this time, has appointed a new director. And we hired a new CEO, Michael DiPaolo, who was formerly head of the New York region, where he was general manager of the New York, New Jersey Port Authority, Hudson Railway. And Richard, do you want to comment on this appointment that takes place on October 15th?
Thank you. Thank you, Supervisor. Yes, starting on October 15th, actually, Mr. DiPaolo will be present at our board meeting on the 12th, and introduce himself to the board and the staff. And a more formal, we're very pleased. He has a long background in transit and rail, comes from the New York, New Jersey Port Authority, had experience there over the last years that I think will be invaluable here, plus experience with PTC, positive train control, our major priority, and upgrading the fleet. So, Mike, thank you. We're looking forward to his being here, and we'll be sure to introduce him to the Antelope Valley early.
Great. And I want to thank Richard for doing a very good job as chairman and providing the leadership in this effort, which was unanimously approved by the Metrolink board. Okay, item number 4, the CEO's report.
We have cards on that.
We have.
What are we doing?
Is there cards on?
On what? I have no idea what item we're on. Are you on item 3?
I just want to recognize a few MTA employees. Is Yvonne Price here? Please hurry. Let's hurry, I guess. Come over to the microphone. Now, Yvonne is the ADA compliance administrator with our Office of Civil Rights. I'd like her to provide some information about our recent Accessibility Advisory Committee's activities. Yvonne?
For what?
Hi, thank you very much. Good morning. Thanks for inviting me to come and talk a little bit more about the Accessibility Advisory Committee. and providing a broader audience to help recognize that Metro is serious about its commitment to improving service for riders with disabilities. The Accessibility Advisory Committee has recently provided input on bus equipment, recommending the securement of rear-facing securement equipment for wheelchairs. And the Accessibility Advisory Committee has also made subway access recommendations related to the GTEL system for latched fare gates. Also, the AAC has recommended recently commendations for Metro staff members for outstanding achievement in serving people who are disabled and ensuring equal access to transportation in accordance with the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990. In particular, I'd like to present Barbara Maycott, Assistant Operations Manager for Division 15. Barbara has worked tirelessly to improve the quality of Metro bus service. She's improved sensitivity and disability awareness to bus operations employees. Her special attention to ADA and bus operator improvement is exemplified in her skill in reviewing ADA-related complaints, and she has consistently made determined efforts to ensure accessibility to riders with disabilities. Also commended by the AAC are Nadine Trish Williams, Assistant Transportation Operations Manager at the Bus Operations Control. Nadine is not here today. However, also being recognized is Darcy Mason, Transit Operations Supervisor at Bus Operations Control, Mark Solomon, Transit Operations Supervisor at Bus Operations Control, and Monica Macon, Passenger Relations Representative, Customer Relations, who's not here, but Gail Harvey is standing in for her today. This group was recognized for their quick action and teamwork that ensured public transit access for a mobility-impaired infant and her mother. Responding to a passed-up mother with a disabled infant in a mobility device, this group recognized that the specially fitted mobility device was not a stroller, it was not collapsible, and did not follow the rules that the operators would have to abide by in addressing a stroller situation. They ensured that the following bus was aware of the special ADA requirement, and they ensured that the following bus boarded the mother and infant within 12 minutes of the pass-up. And we wanted to recognize them for their achievement in contributing to Metro's ADA goals. Thank you very much. And if we'd greatly appreciate it if we could have a picture with the CEO here.
Let me thank you guys. ADA service is very important. As you know, it's a civil right. It's guaranteed. And I appreciate your guys' efforts in the Transportation Department. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Can you step up here?
Mr. Chair, just a quick comment. Mark Solomon was just here, and I had the pleasure of working with Mark's dad 30 years ago, so it's good to see his son playing such an important role.
Okay, good. No, they're on your report, so you want to be before or after?
Mr. Walsh and Arnold Sachs, number four.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. Two Thursdays ago, 86,000 visitors in one day all over the world. You start this meeting 50 minutes late. First, it used to be half an hour late. Now it's an hour late. I see Zev strolling in. You know, I understand why you're doing it. You have unregistered lobbyists here from Titan who are making $500 an hour. You just put money in their pocket. You just put money in Richard Alatorre's pocket, who incidentally isn't even a registered lobbyist. He's just a fat guy representing Titan. I'm telling you right now, you are the laughingstock of this city, of this county, of this world. And where's the mayor? The only reason he gets frightened is when he finds out that his girlfriends are late.
Thank you. Good morning. This is on the seat. Mr. Chair, will we have an opportunity to address your report? This is on the CEO's report. Mr. Chair? We're speaking on the CEO's report or the president's report?
You're on item number four.
Okay, do we have a chance to speak on item number three also? Because that was your report. Item number four, I'm glad to see that you are recognizing contributions by the ADA, but I was wondering, there was no action taken by the board when Access Services unilaterally decided to eliminate on LADOT the free passage for personal assistance. So I was just curious to know why that wasn't ever brought up in front of the MTA board, because that's a government contract that's given out, MTA gives out funding, and why that was never addressed. It's an essential part of the Access Services program to have a personal assistant. Do I have an opportunity to address your comments?
Okay, and number three then?
Yes, sir. Thank you. And I certainly appreciate your characterization of the state legislator, Mr. Schiff's whimsical ideas regarding the programs with the 710. So I'm wondering, was it whimsical when MTA decided on the 17 different options for the West Side Extension to go, that was supposed to go down Wilshire Boulevard and ended up going everywhere but Wilshire Boulevard? Or was it whimsical thinking that provided for the subway on the diagrams and the outreach to go by the earthquake fault line up until funding was admitted, allowed, so that Beverly Hills High could sue because of the change of the route plan that should have been done a long time ago? So I'm wondering, when your definition of whimsical refers to somebody else, is it the same whimsy that's referred to you?
Mr. Walsh.
MTA, incidentally, stands for More Transportation Anarchy. Just keep working. I know you can break the one-hour barrier next month. Incidentally, Mr. Reyes, where's Mr. Reyes? I see his name up here. Let me tell you what happened. Weezer wouldn't go along with the mayor. So the mayor booted his ass off the city, off the board, which he's allowed to do, and brought in his friend Monica Lewinsky Reyes, who does anything that he wants them to do. That's what's happening. The mayor, they're all puppets of the mayor, including the reporter back here, Ari Bloomkatz. I'm telling you right now that this board, and incidentally, eventually Reyes will bust his virginity up here and you get to see it. And HollywoodHighlands.org, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride today.
Okay, items number 33, 34, and 35 did not have the necessary votes because of conflicts. Do we have more members that are currently present? So once again, Director Fasana, and do you have any conflicts? And Director Katz will move 33, 34, and 35 without objection, except for those who are abstaining or objecting because of conflicts. So ordered, if we have the seven votes. Okay, so ordered on 33. So ordered on 34. Okay, so ordered on 34. So ordered on 35. Okay, item number 24, Supervisor Lee Thomas, your motion.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. May I begin by asking our Roger Molière if he'd come forward. And you have before you item number four, the concept of value capture in terms of transit investment dividends. The thrust of this gives us a strategic opportunity to deal with tax increment finance districts, joint development programs, parking requirements that make it much more amenable to success and improving the quality of life in the areas in which the investment is being made, has implications for revolving land acquisition. I want to compliment the staff on having done an excellent job in preparing the summary value capture options, whereby the transit agencies may be able to identify and capture the increases in land value resulting from public investments in infrastructure. All of it is set forth rather explicitly in the motion that I put forth, item number 24. It is my understanding that there is favorable disposition toward this matter. Mr. Chairman, I bring it forward at this point in time because it can make a huge difference. And if Mr. Molière has any additional comments to be made, I'm more than glad to hear them at this point. But the bottom line of this motion and presentation is to compliment staff and trust that the board will vote unanimously on it.
Okay, we have a motion by Director Mark Riley Thomas, seconded, and there are two public speakers, Mr. Walsh and Mr. Sachs. And let's keep our remarks to the item.
Okay. Don't worry, I can get off in less than 60 seconds. Value capture? No, I'm interested in value release, which we've said all along, and they're not going to talk about this. The subway has nothing to do with moving people. It has to do with real estate. Because in L.A., everything is either real estate complicated by race or race complicated by real estate. And all this is about real estate and about people making a killing. And you know how you make a killing? You know where the stations are before they vote on it. You buy the property, and then you become a millionaire, just like Richard Alatorre pulled it off on the east side. You know what's happening up here. You know what you can do with your last 22 seconds. But hold it four ways first.
Thank you again, Arnold Sachs. I was just wondering, since you back in would have been 2007, had this program involved with the construction authorities and this grant deed to a third party, the transfer of property, the need for that doesn't make sense. Here's an agenda from August 25th, 2005, where the mayor passed Molina, Fasana, Antonovich, Lowenthal motion regarding the Metro Gold Line Foothill Extension Construction Authority. And on the same agenda, the Alvarado versus Metro Blue Line Construction Authority. Now, both those authorities purportedly cover the same area. The difference is the Blue Line was legally mandated, and the L.A. to Pasadena Construction Authority, a figment of your imagination.
Thank you. Okay, without objection, Ms. Du Bois.
Item number three, support local government measures to reduce or eliminate automobile parking requirements around transit stations. Are you suggesting then that there would not be any requirement for a number of parking spaces next to a transit station? Just clarify it for me, please.
I'm not suggesting that. This essentially is conceptual in nature, and when it comes to the specifics of the various transit-oriented developments and the like, this then becomes one of the considerations for negotiating a more favorable set of circumstances for the range of stakeholders.
Okay, a more favorable range of circumstances. Right. Does that mean more, fewer, less, or non-specified number of parking spaces?
It means that it depends on the specifics of the deal itself. This is one specific way in causing these projects to go forward in a much more favorable manner. This motion does not seek to determine the deal points of any particular development. Now, Mr. Moliere, maybe you can help the director.
Yeah, that's well said. It is individual. There are times when you want to build more parking because it makes it convenient for people to get out of their cars and use
exactly.
a station.
Right.
However, there are equal number or sometimes more situations where the law requires you to build at least a certain number. Often that is too much, and that is an increase in both cost and an encouragement, a negative encouragement. So it's really meant to allow zoning, which many cities have now pursued, to allow ease the parking requirements around stations because that does encourage people to use public transportation.
Okay, I'm not sure that's a okay. I do know that the stations that where we have parking lots now on the Green Line in particular are usually full.
Right.
When if you choose to go after, you know.
Oh, sure. No, and we would encourage that. That's a good point. And though there are places where park and ride is both essential and we need more.
Absolutely.
This is really meant to allow the addressing of situations where you're forced literally to build a lot of parking. We have some lots, for example, with 1,200 spaces, and there is an average daily use of about 70. And so you've got a waste of land and that kind of thing.
So you're looking for more flexibility.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted that clarified.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Move it.
Without objection. So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, moving on to item 44. What we're going to do is to allow Titan and CBS each to have 15 minutes to make their case, and then we will have public comment. We have a large number of people who have signed up for the public comment. But first, we'll hear from staff.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and board members. Thank you for the opportunity to present this item. This is for advertising on Metro bus and rail system. This came first to the Executive Management Committee in July. The board had a number of questions, and we are returning with the same staff recommendation. However, through Attachment A, we have responded to 16 questions from the public and the board. Attachment B, included in this board summary is the is the procurement summary, and C is the detail of revenue options.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Let us proceed. Let me first call up Titan. We have 15 minutes. You come up and just give your name before you speak so we know how you want to
Mr. Chair,
arrange that. Yes, Mr.
Could you also advise them that if they don't need their whole 15 minutes because some of us have to leave already?
You don't have – okay. You don't need – you can take up to 15 minutes. Okay.
Thank you.
The Titan representative.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. Don Allman, chief executive of Titan. The recession of 2009 was historic and affected all companies worldwide. Titan had never renegotiated a contract before, nor has it since the recession of 2009. Titan's 2011 audited financials were pre-certified by the MTA during this RFP process, and 2012 will be our most profitable year ever. Titan has 21 major market transit contracts in the U.S., and we are in good standing with all of them. Staff now has the benefit of 10 letters of reference from major market transit authorities, including those in Boston, Philadelphia, Chicago, and San Francisco, and all have stayed with Titan post-recession. All of these authorities were previously represented by CBS before they awarded their contracts to Titan. We have offered you a one-year letter of credit to support our superior financial proposal, and if awarded your contract, we'll make it part of the contract. Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Heather Krosner from Latham & Watkins, 355 South Grand Avenue for Titan Outdoor. Titan was the higher bidder and has guaranteed $117.25 million in revenues to the MTA. That's $7.25 million more than CBS Outdoor's bid. Titan's proposed six-month letter of credit met the bid requirements, and Titan has now volunteered a one-year letter of credit. Whether or not staff accepts it, this is evidence of Titan's financial strength. MTA staff continues to cite factors about Titan's revenue proposal as if there were a revenue share deal. It is not. They want a fixed fee, which Titan will deliver. Your staff never asked Titan any follow-up questions about its restructuring, nor called a single reference. 10 agencies have now written to you to attest to Titan's ability to deliver the highest revenue to the MTA. The perception that Titan is not financially sound contradicts the conclusion reached by each of these transit authorities since 2009. Awarding the contract to Titan is simply a no-risk proposition. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Scott Goldsmith. I'm the Chief Commercial Officer of Titan. Titan is exclusively focused on transit and municipal advertising. It is all that we do. We represent five of the eight largest transit contracts in the United States, and since 2004, we have taken 17 major market contracts from CBS Outdoor. In each of those cases, we went through a competitive bid process, and our financials were assessed by the staffs of each of those transit authorities, and you have letters on the record from each of those authorities verifying our performance. We are innovative, we are hardworking, and we are passionate. We have generated more revenue in every market we have taken over from CBS Outdoor. We achieved the following increases in the first year after taking over a contract previously represented by CBS Outdoor: 44% higher than CBS in the first year on NJT, 15% more in Boston on MBTA, 12% more in Philadelphia on the SEPTA system, 27% more in King County in Seattle, and 12% in Metro Transit in Minneapolis. We will bring this exclusive focus to Los Angeles if we are selected as your contractor. There is absolutely no good reason to leave $7.25 million on the table during this financial crisis. Please award the contract to Titan. Thank you.
Good morning, Andrew Kugler from Mayor Brown on behalf of Titan. As we've heard, Titan offered over $7 million more in guaranteed money. So how did we end up with a recommendation to CBS? Well, the answer seems to be that staff assumed Titan's increased revenues come with increased risks. The problem is that staff made that assumption without conducting any due diligence. In fact, staff did not contact a single reference during the evaluation. As far as we know, that is unprecedented in a procurement of this size. Checking references is basic due diligence and one of the best ways to predict future risk. If staff had called Titan's clients here, they would have learned that their assumption is wrong, that Titan is held in high regard, as demonstrated by the many glowing references you now have before you, and that Titan has taken 17 major contracts from CBS over the last few years. Are all of these other transit agencies wrong? Of course not. Needlessly lose out on over $7 million in guaranteed revenues. There's still time to correct this error, and we respectfully request you award the contract to Titan. Thank you.
Good morning, board members. My name is Myung-Chu Seok, representing the Painters and Allied Trade District Council 36 this morning in support of Titan's bid. In contrast to Titan's consensual restructuring, CBS Outdoor has resorted to litigation against local agencies. Metro has had compliance issues with CBS Outdoor over billboards on MTA property. LA City Controller found underpayments in her audit findings in connection with another city contract. LA City has several active lawsuits against CBS Outdoor. And in fact, CBS Outdoor has filed suit against TfL in connection with their London Underground contract, and the suit resulted in a settlement between CBS Outdoor and TfL. And Painters and Allied Trade, District Council 36, is proud to be standing next to our signatory union employer, Titan Outdoor. Thank you.
Good morning. Tim McCosker, Mayor Brown, on behalf of Titan. One question would be, why would CBS spend its time and its money in this process attacking Titan on its financial ability, presumably threatening to pull jobs out of LA and filling billboards and T-shirts with messages that are completely unrelated to the price offered or the quality of service that might be offered? One can only assume that the reason to do that is because the proposal is more than $7 million lower than the competitor, and it's best to divert attention away from the facts of the matter. One of those diversions is that CBS has repeatedly stated that its outdoor division did not renegotiate its contract and that the MTA didn't grant any changes. It's just simply not true, as shown in the records that we've supplied. In 2009, as you know, CBS did seek to reduce the guaranteed payments by $27 million. You denied that, which is great. But in 2011, there is a reduction in payments of $4 million, explained away as a reduction in fleet. But you reduce fleet, if you increase inventory, those are real dollars lost to the MTA, real dollars lost to the MTA, and real dollars gained by the contractor. And this is not just the tactic in LA County. As we indicated in our letter last week, CBS tells its investors that it uses its leverage of incumbency to reduce cost and increase revenues. Of course it does, and it's doing that here, not only in LA County. Why? Why would one do that? Well, we could only speculate. It is advantageous to do that if outdoor is for sale. Why would it be for sale? It's not a core business, as it is for Titan. It's not a core business for CBS. They have not denied that it's for sale. I'm interested to hear. And they've also put expressly in your proposal, and we have a letter to this today, expressly in the proposal, that they would have the ability to assign this contract without the consent of Metro. That contradicts your current contract with them. That contradicts your proposal. That certainly contradicts our proposal, because we would not be in that position ever, but certainly you need to hang on to the ability to consent to assignment. Because if you grant this to CBS and they can sell away without consent, all you will know about your next contractor, you won't know their quality, you won't know their ability, you will just know that that next one will also offer you $7 million less than Titan offers you today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, board members. I'm Cindy Starrett from Latham, 355 South Grand for Titan Outdoor. Titan is the David in this story. The Goliath has engaged in tactics that the LA Times described as bullying. But just to mix metaphors a bit, we try harder. Titan works incredibly hard, and Titan delivers more revenue to its public agency partners. We've submitted comments to you, most recently quotes from staff reports that we sent yesterday, including LADOT. LADOT, right around the corner, much smaller contract. They conducted oral interviews. They did the diligence. The staff report you received last week said that staff doesn't have to do reference checks if the proponents are known to them. That is a recipe for allowing incumbents to retain contracts at a discount. And that's what CBS Outdoor is asking you to do. They're asking you to leave $7.25 million on the table and give them this contract for the reduced price of $110 million. To justify underpaying Metro by over $7 million, they criticized the recession's impacts on Titan. Everyone suffered through the recession. You have evidence in the record that Metro made accommodations to CBS Outdoor in terms of inventory and other changes to the contract to deal with the recession. The agencies that Titan restructured with did fine. New York got $190 million, every penny that was due up to the point the contract ended. BART sent a letter to you that says they made $20 million more than they would have made with CBS Outdoor. OCTA, we gave them $18 million in that restructured contract. Had they accepted CBS Outdoor's bid, we provided a copy to you. It was received through a Public Records Act request yesterday. They would have gotten $7.5 million, a fraction of what Titan promised and what Titan delivered. Your staff reviewed Titan's financials in a detailed process. They did that in order to pre-qualify Titan as a financially responsible bidder. Having done that, having looked at the evidence that you have all received from 21 other agencies that have given contracts to Titan, the evidence is clear. Titan is qualified. Titan is the high bidder. Your policies state that the purpose of advertising contracts is solely to generate revenue for this agency. We know the tough decisions that you all face every day because you have such incredibly worthy projects and you can't afford to fund all of them. There are improvements that you'd like to make to projects, but you just don't have the money. Well, here's $7.25 million extra that you can take today by following your policies and accepting the high bid from the pre-certified bidder. Titan has the financial strength to deliver these higher revenues. It's 6% more than CBS Outdoor. Please select option two. It's Titan's fixed-fee proposal with a guarantee of $117 million. Don Allman is here. We'd be happy to answer any questions. We respect the time of the board.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, the CBS representative and your group that you want for your 15 or less minutes. Just give your name for the record before you speak.
Mr. Chairman and honorable members of the Metro Board of Directors, my name is Wally Kelly. I'm president and CEO of the CBS Outdoor Division. CBS is a fixture in this community and always has been for a long time. We support it with more than 4,000 employees in the city of Los Angeles. We have lots of people here today and staff as well this morning to express to you why you should vote in support of the staff recommendation. I am here to confirm that CBS's word is its bond, and it has been for decades. I urge you to pay close attention to the facts that staff has recommended and submitted to you, and we would appreciate your vote and confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is John Clements. I'm Executive Vice President for CBS Outdoor. Titan would have you believe that a recession somehow makes it okay to default on your word. CBS does not believe that. CBS lost over $20 million on this past contract and absorbed it. We're not happy about that loss, but we are proud that we kept our word. I would question what would have happened if Titan had the current contract. Who would not be working? What services would have been cut? I don't think it's a risk worth taking, and I would suggest and encourage you to vote for CBS. Our word is our bond. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hello, members. I'm Rich Sauer. I'm the general counsel of CBS Outdoor, and it's my pleasure to speak with you again about this. Titan has some great lobbyists and lawyers, and they've done a terrific job of confusing the issues relating to this RFP. But let's look at the simple, undisputed facts. In 2009, just 3 years ago, Titan unilaterally ceased paying its minimum guaranteed amounts on virtually all of its transit franchise agreements. Titan used those non-payments to renegotiate its guarantees on those agreements. Titan now claims that having renegotiated those guarantees and following this non-payment, it is restructured and it's now financially viable. Yet Titan has offered no evidence beyond its own bald assertions that it is now creditworthy. It has not submitted the most basic evidence of its financial condition, its audited financial statements, to the Metro staff, selection committee, or this board for review. Titan will say and have said that its financials were submitted to the pre-qualification committee. but that was confidential, and Titan has resisted the release of their financials beyond the pre-qualification committee. On the other hand, we have CBS, which has never missed a guaranteed payment before, during, and after the financial crisis. As you know, CBS stuck by a very painful Metro contract. At the same time, Titan was failing to pay the minimum on virtually all of its transit agreements. In New York, the MTA had to draw in full under Titan's letter of credit, and during the last 2 years alone, the New York MTA is out of pocket in excess of $60 million as a result of Titan's default. What would have been the consequence to Metro if Titan had been its contract partner over the last 5 years? How much money would Metro have lost? Again, what services would Metro have had to cut? The bottom line is that Titan has a consistent pattern of bidding recklessly and then reneging on its obligations when they become untenable. Titan and its lobbyists have continued to recycle the same desperate canards. Metro staff has provided detailed responses on each of these issues that Titan has failed to rebut. For example, and particularly, it's inexcusable that Titan continues to maintain that CBS renegotiated the minimum guarantees under the current Metro bus contract. Flatly, there was no amendment or renegotiation of the guarantee, nor was CBS permitted a $4 million reduction in guaranteed payments. The Metro bus fleet changed, and in accordance with the contract, there was an adjustment as specified in the contract. Titan conveniently ignores that CBS increased payments in 2007 following a fleet expansion, and that the pending RFP includes the exact same provision. Titan also persists in pressing the red herring that CBS Outdoor is for sale. CBS Outdoor is not for sale, and a sale is not remotely relevant to the performance of the Metro contracts. CBS Outdoor alone is one of the largest outdoor advertising companies in the world and in Los Angeles. The book value of CBS Outdoor's assets exceeds $4 billion. And in 2011, the division had revenues of nearly $2 billion. The division had revenues of nearly $2 billion and earnings of approximately $400 million. Nevertheless, to end discussion of this spurious issue, CBS Corporation has agreed that in the unlikely event of any sale of CBS Outdoor, the corporation will either issue a corporate guarantee of the entire remaining fixed fee payment through the remaining term of the contract, including the 3 1-year options, or deliver to Metro a letter of credit securing the entire amount of such remaining fixed fee payment. The for sale issue was never anything more than a diversion, but with this guarantee, it should be off the table completely. Finally, Titan just this morning objected to a proposed change by CBS to the contract intended to facilitate an internal CBS reorganization. This change is something we typically ask for, but in this context, it's not important to CBS, and I'm prepared to say that CBS would drop it. So on the one hand, you have Titan, great lobbyists, great lawyers, but an admitted history of default. And on the other hand, you have CBS Outdoor, a company with $4 billion of assets, $2 billion of earnings, a company that has always satisfied its obligations in good times and in bad. The choice is clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Director, members of the board, my name is Ryan Brooks, Vice President of CBS Outdoor. First, I want to take the time to say thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak today. It's amazing. I'm looking back behind me here, and they say, you know, Titan cares more, $7.25 million. But let's define what cares more really means. Did they care more when they defaulted of $822 million in New York? Did they care more when they renegotiated over $6 million in Orange County? Did they care more in Boston when they renegotiated $30 million worth of contracts? And did they care more in San Francisco when they renegotiated almost $50 million worth of contracts? I mean, our definition of care is much different from their definition of care, and hopefully you'll decide to vote with CBS. We're also talking about unions. We've been here for a long time. CBS is a staple here in the city of Los Angeles. And I want to welcome and thank my union brothers and sisters, please, for coming here today and supporting us.
If you want to show support, just wave your hands, but don't applaud. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. We've been union since day one. We are the only outdoor company in Los Angeles that is 100% that is union, that uses union laborers. We actually took it a step further. We have Joe Perez here. He's our minority contractor. Joe's been around for a long time. He talks about, you know, CBS and how much we give to his company. He talks about he's been able to pay medical bills, provide health care, because CBS stuck with the commitment of hiring minority contractors when the city said we didn't have to do it. So, I want you to look. Our bond is our word. Our CBS money is real. Titan has a history of not paying. They look in their contracts. They tell you they're going to increase local revenues by 40 to 50%. I just read the Wall Street Journal last week. Wall Street Journal is looking at the economy growing by 2 to 3%. I don't know where they get this 50% number. I don't know. It hasn't happened. It will never happen.
There's a minus in front of that.
Yes, well, we know their history. You know, past is prologue, as Shakespeare said. So I respectfully ask you to vote for CBS. Our bond is our word. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Does that conclude the company's presentations? Now we'll go into a public comment. We have a number of speakers who have... And you don't have to speak, even though you signed up. I mean, both sides have been able to make their case pretty well, and the board will have some questions that they'll be following up. So if we call your name and you don't want to speak, that's perfectly fine. Yes, sir.
And I want to respect your time also. And we have a lot of union people who want to speak. I'm only asking maybe one representative to come up.
Okay.
Before that, we do have a few nonprofits.
Okay.
And then we'll limit it to that.
Okay. So then when I call their names, if they've already, they don't have to come up. But
Yeah, that's correct, Mr. Chair.
Who's your representative you want to speak?
Let me grab him. Why don't you start with Titan first and we'll
Okay.
The representative.
Okay. Okay, Leonard Baez, B-A-E-Z, Baez, Gus De La Tova. Giovanni Gonzalez, Steve Manns or Mains, Richard Ament, Richard, Ruben Romero, Joe Perez, Tony Perez. Come on, you're going to speak for the group. So just give me your name. I'll pull out your card.
Name's Leonard Baez. Leonard Baez.
Okay. Go on. You have 1 minute.
Okay, my name is Leonard Baez, and I represent thousands of members of the Teamsters Local 986 and CBS. Certainty and reliability is something we count on in our union. Membership with the people we work with every day. It is with this in mind that we are here today to ask for your support of CBS Outdoor. We have been a partner with CBS Outdoor for many years, working alongside their team here in Los Angeles. We believe this contract with Metro is something that needs to be carefully considered as Metro Board makes their decision. Specifically, we would like to draw to your attention to the positive aspects that CBS Outdoor has and will bring in working with Metro. The last 5 years have been trying economic times for all of us. However, as I am sure you are all aware, CBS Outdoor performed to the full extent letter of the contract it had undertaken with Metro. CBS Outdoor fulfilled the contract with Metro even though ad revenues fell dramatically over the last 5 years. CBS Outdoor is a company that has proven to be reliable and one that can be counted on to be a long-term partner with Metro. We urge you to vote in favor of CBS. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura Brill. Okay.
Good morning. My name is Tony Perez, and I'm president of J. Perez Associates.
Give your name again.
Tony Perez.
Okay.
Thank you for allowing me to address the committee. J. Perez Associates has been in business as a DBE firm since 1991, and we are proud of our partnerships across the nation with the out-of-home industry. More importantly, we're the only minority-owned business that is part of this procurement contract. We have worked with CBS Outdoor on a bus and rail contract since 1992, and unlike their competitor, CBS Outdoor supports the effort of minority contractors. Trust is a crucial aspect of any business, especially given the current economic environment. It is extremely important to conduct business with companies that can be counted on to stand behind their commitments. It is common knowledge that Titan has renegotiated or defaulted on numerous contracts throughout the nation. This is something Metro and its ridership cannot afford. I urge you to vote to follow the staff recommendation and award this contract to CBS Outdoor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Joe Perez. My name is Joe Perez. I am the CEO of J. Perez Associates. We are a DBE subcontractor for the out-of-home industry with offices in 7 states and employ 85 people. For more than 20 years, we have worked to develop a reliable, trustworthy relationship with CBS Outdoors. It is with this in mind that I wanted to speak with you today about the pending Metro Bus Rail contract. There is no doubt that CBS Door is the best choice. I am certain that CBS will fulfill its contract with Metro and has proven this over 5 years with the current contract. CBS Outdoors weathered the current economic storm and did not default or renegotiate under the threat of default. A single contract anywhere. This is because CBS Outdoor has the financial backing and support of a larger parent company, CBS, whose financial information and data is publicly available. Again, unlikely Titan Outdoor, who has not and will not provide audited statements. If this contract is awarded to Titan, the potential financial damage, it will be great. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning. My name is Steve Manis, and I represent Local 724 of the Studio Utilities Employees Union and CBS. Everyone has heard about how Titan Outdoor has renegotiated or defaulted on more than 20 contracts across the United States. This business practice has cost transit agencies hundreds of millions of dollars. The reduction of these contracts has been anywhere from 32% to almost 60%. As Metro staff has pointed out, Titan's forced renegotiations with transit agencies like Bay Area Rapid Transit cost this agency $45 million. And in Boston, Titan's forced renegotiation of MBTA, $53 million. Should Titan be awarded this contract when they come back to Metro in a couple of years and force the agency to renegotiate the contract, this could cost Metro millions of dollars. Let's assume for a moment that Titan forces Metro to renegotiate their contract and reduces the minimum guarantee by 32%, which is lowest renegotiated percentage known. This could cost Metro almost $38 million, reducing Titan's guaranteed minimum of $79 million. Do you really want to take the chance that Titan will keep $38 million that belongs to Metro riders? We urge you to vote in favor of CBS Outdoor. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura Brill. Pass. Stephen Arafat.
Good morning, Stephen Afriat. I represent Titan today. I want to point out a couple of misimpressions that have been given you today. While CBS does have union relationships, CBS Outdoor's bus contract is not a union contract. Mr. Perez's business is not a union shop. And that's why the Painters Union is supporting Titan. Titan is the only company before you today who, as a result of getting this contract, will provide additional union jobs. Our proposal before you is supported by the Comstock Hills homeowners, the Holmby Hills homeowners, a variety of other homeowner groups and leaders. And this is an extraordinary company giving you an extraordinary proposal, and we would urge you to support Titan today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Richard Simon. Malcolm Klugman.
When you go about this, if you award a contract to build something, you get a building. But when you award contract for advertising, you might want to check on the efficacy of the advertising. I would suggest that you had by this time done a survey of the users of your MTA system to see if they find it of any use. Those cards on the sides of the inside of buses are totally unused. Nobody looks at them. Nobody cares about them. The television thing is pathetic. It's this loud noise that if you brought a boombox on there, they throw you off the bus. There's got to be metrics of what they're going to provide in terms of service for the revenue that they're going to get. And I don't see it right now. And we need to ask the riders sometimes about how these things before you go and award contract.
Thank you. Edward Padilla. Laura Lettenberg. She'll be followed by Marcia Charney.
Thank you. My name is Laura Lechtenberg. I'm the Director of Marketing at Puente Learning Center, where we serve over 2,000 students a day in Boyle Heights in South L.A. Parents come to learn English while their kids are at school at Puente. We have a booming job training program for our veterans, and we wouldn't be able to give our students and our community these important services if it wasn't for supporters like CBS Outdoor. CBS Outdoor has made generous financial donations to Puente Learning Center, but what is actually even more meaningful is the time and the guidance and the effort that CBS Outdoor has given Puente Learning Center. They've taken the time to make introductions to us for other donors. And for this, we are extremely grateful. So I'd just like you to keep this in mind as you make your decision that CBS Outdoor has been a great friend to Puente Learning Center. Thank you.
Thank you. Karen Bass, following Marcia.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. My name is Marcia Charney, and I represent Students Run LA. Students Run LA inspires kids, over 3,000 of them, to run and make their lives better through the discipline and training and commitment to finish the LA Marathon. The same commitment and discipline is what we look for in partners to work with, like CBS Outdoor. Students Run LA works because of the support of many generous individuals and corporations throughout the Los Angeles area. One of those partners who has worked with Students Run LA is CBS Outdoor. We are here today to support CBS Outdoor because we know the type of partner they have been to our organization. They believe in making the entire community successful through charitable contributions to groups like ours, and we rely on companies like CBS Outdoor. And so this was our first ever billboard around the city, which we greatly appreciate. Thank you very much, and keep on running.
Thank you. Following Kevin Bass is Mark Davis.
Good morning, board members. My name is Kevin Bass. I'm a member of the Painters and Allied Trades District Council 36. I'm here today to urge you to reject the staff recommendations. It does not make any sense to leave $7.2 million on the table. And also, CBS Outdoors has publicly threatened each one of you through their billboards. Have you seen these? This is the same rogue company that has proven, that has a proven track record of defaulting on their contracts with the city of Los Angeles. And Councilman Reyes, I just wanted to let you know, we know you're new to this issue, but we wanted to make sure that you knew the facts. Titan is signatory to us. We're the ones that are supposed to do this work on the transportation system. This is basically a bait and switch that's being done by CBS because this contract is going to be done non-union if they're awarded this contract. And they bring these people in here today that are from their other union size. Lastly, you need to consider the stability of CBS. It's well known that CBS Outdoors is for sale. This was shown in the Wall Street Journal. It's attached in our letter.
Thank
Please
you.
Reject the recommendation. This is a very important vote for us.
Thank you, sir. John Walsh, followed by Arnold Sachs.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org, or contact me with dirt at Hollywood, email HollywoodDems@gmail.com. This is a lie. I am wearing a lie. And this is what I do to lives. This is what I do to lives. That's what I do to lives.
And where is the mayor?
Donde es su alcalde?
Please speak on the item.
Speaking on the item? Yes, I'll speak on the item. $2.2 million default in New York City? I'm telling you right now, Hollywood Inspector General, you don't even have an Inspector General here to involve. And Les Moonves, the president. L.A. Times calls the president of CBS in their editorial a bloviator. That's some white guy term. I don't know what the hell it means. A bloviator and a bully. It's the mayor that's a bully. It's Titan that's a bully. It's their unregistered lobbyists that are a bully. Take your shirts off and spit on them. HollywoodHighlands.org. Vote for CBS Outdoors.
Thank you. Good morning again, Arnold Seck. Interesting comments about how the financials are available to all these different groups about their processes involved in this bid. My concerns, actually, after listening to all the money being thrown around, is way back when the mayor proclaimed that he would like to use advertising dollars to ensure that the Green Line and the Blue Line stations were enclosed to protect the patrons from the elements. Where are we at with that program? How you all doing on that program? And for the MTA board, with the leadership that they have, to be negotiating these kinds of contracts, start circling the sewer, because that's where this leadership and this board is headed.
Okay, that concludes. Okay, one
about that, Mark Davis. I'm here, Mark, just to speak on behalf of various West Side residents' associations that we've worked with. They've all submitted letters. CBS. We have Comstock Hills, Holmby Westwood, Carthay, Palms Neighborhood Council. We have Venice, and we have Wilshire Center Bid, as well as Westwood Homeowners. Just all the similar points that these letters have met. Have pointed out is that this is not a good community partner, that CBS has illegally installed billboards in various sites on Metro property. They don't work well with the neighbors. They just want to express those concerns. So,
thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, members of the board. Good morning. Laura Brill on behalf of CBS Outdoor. Titan admits that it reneged on at least 20 public transit contracts. Its failures led to reduced minimum guarantees of 30, 40, even 50%, amounting to $40 million for some agencies. Titan says everything is better now, but Titan refuses to disclose its financial statements to prove it. What will we say 2 years from now if Titan defaults? That we knew they were hiding the ball, but this board took the bet? Throughout the recession, CBS stood by its contract with Metro. CBS has proven its strong financial wherewithal and integrity and is worthy of these contracts. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to correct for the record, because CBS has said it several times, we submitted our audited financials as part of the pre-certification process. We were totally transparent in our response to the proposal. I don't know where they're getting this. It's a lie. They're available whenever you want to see them, and they were sent to you as part of your pre-certification package when you did pre-certify Titan.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. That concludes the public comment, and let me ask a couple questions to Mr. Lee. CBS has contracted with MTA in the past. Has CBS ever given the agency the revenue that was owed to the MTA that was expressed in the language of the contract? I don't know if I ask you or ask.
Linda, or is Michelle Caldwell here?
We can answer.
Go
that.
Ahead.
Yes, we can respond. No, they have met the terms of the contract.
What was the rationale by MTA to allow for CBS to expand their scope of advertising space?
I'm not sure I understand the question, sir.
What was the rationale when MTA allowed CBS to expand their scope of advertising space?
Recognizing that there were issues during the recession, what we did was make some slightly different types of advertising available in rail stations where they already had the right to place advertising. We indicated that they could place different types of advertising there.
And it was not related to the reduction in space available?
No.
By the reducing the fleet size?
No, it was not.
With Titan, we're being challenged on the contract. They have contracted with other agencies, excluding our MTA. Have they ever defaulted and had to renegotiate terms or not given a company the money that the agency originally contracted for?
Was that Titan, sir?
Yes.
Yes, that's correct. They have.
There's a rumor that CBS is going to be sold for sell their advertising space, their company. And if we were to award the contract to CBS, could they assign that contract to another company under the language of the contract that would be approved by the MTA?
I would defer that question to the procurement area.
I think that is, in an RFP process, that is something that could be negotiated.
Well, and moreover, if the board authorized us to negotiate with CBS, we would not agree to an unlimited ability to reassign the contract. We would want controls and reviews of it.
Wait,
don't just elaborate just for fun. Get to it.
The fact of the matter is...
Name, please. Name.
My name is Don Dwyer, Director, Deputy Executive Officer for Procurement. The solicitation requires that the assignment clause, if there's an assignment clause in the contract, and part of the assignment clause requires prior approval by Metro to reassign a contract. In the proposal from CBS, they took issue with that assignment clause and asked for a unilateral right to reassign. We, in the process of renegotiating that contract or negotiating the contract, we would not agree to that ability to unilaterally reassign. And by indication today, CBS has withdrawn that that condition of their proposal.
So what would happen under contract law if they did?
They would be in default of the contract if they agreed, if they tried to unilaterally assign a contract. They did not have the right to do that, so they would be in default.
Okay. If CBS was to receive the contract, I would move that the board ensure financial security that if CBS Outdoor is sold, that the agreement contract language reflects that CBS Corporation will either issue a corporate guarantee of the entire remaining fixed fee payment through the remaining term of the contract, including the 3 one-year options, or two, deliver to Metro a letter of credit securing the entire amount of such remaining fixed fee payment. If CBS is the recipient of the contract.
Well, we would, sir.
Oh, absolutely, both parties.
You're
absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Exactly.
Absolutely right.
And Mike, I think it's part of your language. The assignment language should reflect, for instance, the current contract where it can't be assigned without.
Yes. Yeah. Director Fasano.
Yes, I got a question. Actually, a couple questions. You know, it's clear to me that both companies have the technical capability and that there are advantages that some have over the others. It's also very clear that a few years ago there was an issue with Titan in terms of their payments. It's also clear that Titan has offered $7.25 million more. So what I'm trying to figure out, you know, as I recall, CBS offered a full letter of credit for the full amount, which I think would, given that past risk, would be a consideration for going with CBS. But my sense is, just as the contract would be negotiated potentially with CBS to guarantee the issue of assignability, that with Titan we could also request a full letter of credit as well, renewable on an annual basis. Am I correct in that during renegotiation we could request that?
We can request anything. We'd be negotiating with the firms, one of the firms, whatever, after the board had given us direction to do so. And we would seek at that point to get a contract that that was consistent with board direction.
So help me out there. If we were to move forward with Titan, with that being a condition of the full letter of credit, and, you know, there's been a lot raised about advertising rates and so on and so forth. I mean, the thing to me that really, my sense is where Metro went for on this is rather than a revenue sharing agreement, they went for security of the payment. It would seem that if you have the irrevocable letter of credit for the full amount, you're looking at an irrevocable letter over 5 years equal to 117 or equal to 110. And the other factors would seem become somewhat secondary. I guess I'm kind of wondering if that really sort of changes the analysis a little bit. Again, this is acknowledging that given everything else that Metro has going on, if we have the ability of the board to insist on a full irrevocable letter of credit renewable each year, whether that really addresses what I think is the most serious issue is whether we are going to receive our payments.
We could seek to achieve that. Whatever we achieve in negotiations remains to be determined.
But we could make that a condition of the board. That, right. You know, if we did not obtain that, we would not sign.
And we would, of course, to the other option. Condition, we'd look at ensuring that the letter was of a quality and reliable form.
We would, absolutely.
Failing that, we would come back to the board and report on the status of those negotiations.
Director Najarian.
Thank you. All those letter of credit discussions remind me of another interesting contract we had a few years back, no less contentious. Okay, so here's my thought process on this. Titan is giving the agency a better revenue stream, $7.25 million. However, the issue that staff pointed out is that Titan has been let's talk about, you know, the quality of their commitments have been less than CBS's. And what staff points to is a series of renegotiations with other transit agencies and other agencies. I think they're all transit agencies. So my understanding is a renegotiation takes two parties to sit down and to agree to the terms. Am I correct in that, Charles?
Yes.
Okay, so it's, except for the one that they claim was a default, I think was the New York example, where they did not complete their obligations, their contractual obligations. Everything else presumably was a face-to-face discussion with the agency, and supposedly, you know, the discussions went something like, you know, the revenue for these ads have dropped a lot more than we ever expected. We have to meet our payroll. We have to make our presumably a profit in this. So we'd like to lower our payment to you. And someone at the other table says, well, show us, you know, what your evidence is. And our revenue and ad rates really lower than you expected. And they would show something. And at the end of the day, there would be a new agreement between the two sides. In crass terms, is that basically a type of renegotiation?
Well, I can't comment on the renegotiations or the discussions.
Hold on. Let's not get off that. But my understanding is that's what occurs in a renegotiation.
I cannot comment what happened in these cases.
In A, I'm giving an example of A. Don't ask a lawyer a question. Unless you want a legal answer. I mean, that's what I understand a renegotiation to be. No one went to the other agency with a gun. I don't think Titan went and said, look, you renegotiate or we're going to shoot you. They said, you renegotiate or we're not going to be able to complete the contract. And they said, you know what? Whatever you've told us and the evidence or the proof that you've given us makes sense to us, so we are going to renegotiate. We're going to accept a lower amount on the contract. To me, that seems like an arm's length negotiation between two people out for their best interests.
Charles can't comment on the weapon.
Mr. Chair. I understand. On the what?
Madam Chair.
On the weapon? Oh. I'm being dramatic. Okay.
I think there's two.
But isn't that what we're looking at? A renegotiations, like
I'd like to give you those two categories of renegotiations.
Yes.
One is someone comes in and says, "I'm not making any money. Can we renegotiate?" Okay. And then the authority says no, and the person says, "Okay, we'll live up to our contract." The other case is. Firm comes in and says, "We're losing money. We're going to walk away unless you change the contract with us. We're going to walk away in a short period of time." Okay. That is a negotiation, sure enough, but it is different than making a request which was rejected, and then you still conform to your earlier contract. In the case, at least one case I have some knowledge of, it was case number two, which occurred, in which the firm said, "We're leaving if you don't change the contract."
Okay.
On short notice.
I mean, when you negotiate, you don't say, "I'm making tons of money, I want to pay you less." You say, "Times are tough, I'm not making any money, please, let's offer you a little bit less money than what we originally agreed to." I mean, that's how you negotiate.
And if failing that, then we will walk away from our contract with you.
Okay. And should another individual with whom this agency has a contract with walk away from their obligations, breach their contract, we have legal remedies to either draw on a letter of credit, to obtain a court judgment, and to seek legal action against them. So it's not like we're left or any of the other parties was left holding the bag. I'm sure these were pretty significant contracts with the best lawyers in the industry drafting them, drafting damages, drafting liquidated damages. So to me, my bottom line is this. Let me get to the point. I'm boring supervisor, I can tell. Not the chair, the other supervisor.
I'm excited.
A renegotiation isn't that much of a death blow. It's not so much a smirch on someone's reputation, because you sit down with the other party, you come to an agreement. No matter what you say in those negotiations, "I'm going to walk away, I'm not making any money, this is the worst agency I ever dealt with," whatever they say in those negotiations, at the end of the day, there was a new contract that both sides negotiated with. So that's the way I look at a renegotiation. A default is another story. I see one from New York, that's an issue with me. But all those other 20 or 19 renegotiations are not such a black mark on their record as perhaps staff saw and evaluated. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Director Katz.
Question, because the assignment issue has been one that has been of particular interest to me, particularly because of that whole incident that involved the accusation of CBS Outdoor. When it turned out, as I understand the sequencing events, it was actually a subcontractor to a subcontractor, I think, who eventually became CBS, but it wasn't CBS at that time. But the reason I use that example, it points out the need for the assignment clause, because it's the only way to protect MTA and our customers, as well as all of our constituents, from having any misunderstanding or guaranteeing the kind of quality of work we like, we want to see done. I'm just sort of curious on us through staff or council.
Please come on.
I appreciate the verbal of CBS on the assignment provision, which is a change from what they submitted to us. Do we have an obligation to ask Titan to come up again and ask now if they'd like to change their bid they submitted? I mean, because that's essentially what CBS is making, a material change. It's a change for the better, and it certainly makes that contract more favorable. But the question is, if we're going to start a bidding war, just do it in public, and let's see what Titan's got to say.
No, during the course of negotiations between MTA and the parties, I think there may have been discussions about the assignment, and my understanding is that CBS said that there was suggested language. The fact is, this is a negotiated procurement. The mere fact that a proposer states the term as a condition in a proposal doesn't mean that they're non-responsive. In fact, concepts of responsibility aren't even applicable
right.
Negotiated proposal context.
But that's not what I understand that. But what I was saying was that since CBS has made that change, with the chair's indulgence, let me just ask somebody from Titan to see if they have any new information to give us also. That's okay with the chair. I mean, just in the equity standpoint. That's done.
Good morning, Mr. Katz. I want to reaffirm, and we've submitted a letter today that we are prepared to offer an irrevocable one-year letter of credit that's renewable for every year of the contract. It was supplied to you. It's coming from GE Capital, one of the largest financial institutions in the world, and a member of our bank group. So if it's acceptable, we want to offer it, and we believe it protects the MTA and allows Titan to pay you $7.25 million more over the term of this agreement.
Mr. Chair, maybe Mr. Safer, we were talking this morning about bid versus a proposal. Would you kind of outline that issue quickly for the board?
Well, that's what I was just discussing with Director Katz a moment ago. A bid would responses or you know bids must be responsive to an invitation for bid. They must conform exactly with the terms of the solicitation document. In a negotiated procurement, the proposals do not have to conform exactly with the solicitation documents because the expectation of both sides is that they will negotiate. I do want to make a comment about the letter of credit, and even if there is a change in the letter of credit, if the parties were to negotiate a change in the letter of credit, you know, which, again, it could be done in the context of a negotiated procurement, that doesn't necessarily change the evaluation criteria, and the award is based on the evaluation criteria. And the board has the discretion to rescore the proposals. They can certainly do that, and that could change the ranking of proposers. But the
The rescore the existing proposals? I don't understand that.
Yes, the board ultimately makes the decision.
Right.
Right. The board makes the decision.
One would hope.
They're the ones that are, the board is the awarding authority, not staff. The board makes the determination. However, the board has to make that determination within the consistent with the evaluation criteria in the RFP. That's my point. So if, for example, on the letter of credit, both sides present similar letters of credit, they would have to be scored according to the evaluation criteria. That's all I'm saying. And then you have to determine whether or not that changes the relative ranking. And the procurement folks can fill you in as to whether or not that would change the relative ranking.
Supervisor Kanabe.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say, just because of the timing, I think actually, in case anybody didn't know, this weekend was Carmageddon, but I think Carmageddon will go smoother than this contract. Don?
Mr. Chairman, much to Mr. Najarian's chagrin, I totally agree with his line of questioning and where we're at as it relates to negotiation or renegotiation. And for us to sit here and even discuss it, how many times have we done that in the past on various pieces of whether it be buses, whether it be rail, whether it be construction projects, whatever, where we've been put in a position to renegotiate. On the other hand, too, I double-checked because I got a letter, but I also called the general manager and stuff of Long Beach Transit in my district, which made a switch from CBS to Titan and are very happy with Titan, and Titan's making the payments, and they're appreciating the extra revenue. At the end of the day, my biggest concern is I can't find myself with a compelling argument with every budget discussion we have, with every meeting we have, and a shortfall here and a shortfall, why we should leave $7.25 million on the table.
Excuse me.
I'm not excused. Okay. I'm talking.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. Am I?
No, not at all. I just want to respond to what Mr. Allman said, though.
Well,
it's time.
You haven't been called.
Supervisor Kanabe has the floor. I'm sorry.
And so there's nothing compelling to me for a reason to leave $7.25 million on the table. The easy way out for staff recommendation versus the two obviously would be no change, to go status quo as is. And in checking out current contracts and calling various general managers around the country that Titan has, there are no problems. So it's hard to leave $7.25 million on the table because. So I don't have any problem on the issue of renegotiation, these issues, or the letter of credit that you talked about, John.
But I think we should overturn staff's recommendation.
I will move that contingent on a negotiation with Titan securing an irrevocable full letter of credit acceptable to Metro in the amount of the 1 year of minimum annual guaranteed payments to be renewed annually. That would be my motion.
Second.
I just want to point one thing out. A renewable one-year letter of credit.
Give your name for the record.
I'm sorry. I'm Rich Sauer, General Counsel of CBS Outdoor. A renewable one-year letter of credit secures exactly 1 year of obligation, which is 18 cents on the dollar. Metro would still be naked to Titan's credit risk for the remaining 82 cents on day one. Don't kid yourselves into thinking that what Titan has offered makes you any more secure today than you were yesterday. Second point I want to make is that there's a difference between renegotiating and defaulting and then renegotiating.
I thought the issue was before us, and I didn't know that we were in a question and answer debate back and forth.
Director Fasano had made an amendment or a motion.
Basically, it was a motion to adopt the or to overturn the recommendation, and due to the higher value of the Titan contract, to award the Titan contingent on and to award the fixed fee proposal contingent on Titan Outdoor securing an irrevocable full letter of credit acceptable to Metro in the amount of the 1 year of minimum annual guarantee payments to be renewed annually.
Would be renewed annually.
Yes. My understanding is that's the equivalent of the form of credit that had been requested in the proposal. If somebody wishes to clarify that from staff.
Mr. Kanabe?
No.
Is that our stand? Point of order. I don't know if you're calling on any of us from the audience, but I think we all need to stand down until you do.
May I be heard briefly on the motion, which wasn't on the agenda, Mr. Chairman? It's Laura Brill on behalf of CBS Outdoor.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you. Yes? No?
No. Excuse me. Right now, the discussion and motions or new issues can only be done by the board members. And they have carte blanche ability to do whatever they want to make that type of motion. Then it can be voted upon. If it fails, we'll go to another motion. But right now, the discussion and any modifications is done by the board members.
Thank you. An award to Titan was not on the agenda.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, may I just ask a couple questions to staff? We're talking about $117 million plus and $110 million. Is that correct, between the two contracts? In the past, what have these funds been used for?
The funds go to the enterprise fund and are used to fund bus operations, as far as I know.
That is correct.
What does that mean, enterprise?
Since the revenues are earned by transit operations, by bus and rail movement, the funds are programmed in the annual budget to support bus and rail operations. And I speak from my past life in that. I'm Michelle Caldwell, by the way, Chief Administrative Officer.
You know, I read through the staff report. I talked to the folks regarding this issue, and I have a couple questions regarding some of the staff, the comments staff made. One, I think the staff had said there were some risks, inherent risks, in one contractor over the other. Can you restate what those risks are? Just keep it succinct, please.
The evaluation by the evaluating team took under consideration the record of the two firms. And it was a business decision in terms of the most conservative in relation to what is going on in the marketplace and being able to have the assurance that the $110 million and would be the least risky of the proposals.
So what is the risk again?
you like to speak to what some of the risks?
The risk was based on payment history, that one proposer had a payment history where all payments were always made and all obligations to transit agencies were met. The other proposer had a payment history, a recent payment history, where all obligations were not met.
And was there any other risks?
The other risks were in some assumptions in the work plan, particularly one where one proposer proposed making a substantial increase to advertising rates, an increase of 30% to 40%, and the other one proposed a much more modest increase of about 5%, and it was felt that that substantial increase in rates could result in lower revenue. Basically, yes.
Was there any evidence or validation done to determine if that additional sum of dollars in that category has actually been demonstrated by the proposer and their past contracts? You're saying that they were estimating or assuming they were going to have a higher amount of contributions from a certain category. So my question is that been demonstrated, or is that just a statement from the proposer?
Those are statements from the proposer.
So has it been validated, yes, no, or no one made an attempt to validate it?
I don't believe there is any validation during the evaluation process.
And when you were doing your assessment, and it sounds like you put a lot of weight on whether the contractor could actually perform or not, and you said recent history. How recent is that?
In the case of Titan, defaults and renegotiations took place approximately 3 years ago, 2008.
Time when the economy was pretty rough.
That's
correct. As a business person, I think people have a right to go back and try to renegotiate, but it's up to the owner and the contractor to work those things out. So I don't think there's a issue with respect to whether a person has a right to go back. But, the way I look at it, too, though, is, we're a public agency. We have a fiduciary duty, not to ourselves, but to the people that we represent. That's why I was asking, where are those dollars being used for? And I guess another question would be, how many dollars were really left out there when they renegotiated? Ultimately, when a renegotiation had taken place, how many dollars were not coming to those agencies that thought they were going to get dollars when they actually let the contract out?
Those that we were able to verify were answered in the staff report, but what we listed there was that at BART, the original minimum guarantee to BART was $140 million, and it was reduced to $95 million. In Boston, the original guarantee was $126.3 million. It was reduced to $73 million. At Metro Transit, the original guarantee was $13.1 million. It was reduced to $9.7 million. And in Orange County, the original guarantee was $8.3 million, and it was reduced to $3.5 million. And in New York, the original guarantee was $822.8 million, and that contract was terminated.
So, again, I believe that business owners have a right to go back to renegotiate if they can. And it's ultimately up to the policymakers to agree or not agree with those renegotiations, or to call it off and say you're in default. And given in light of the fact that the last 3 years have been really a difficult time for most businesses and also for most governments and banks and the rest, the whole world was in this thing. But ultimately, we have to go back to what happened, who got slighted, how many dollars were actually produced based on how many dollars were proposed to be produced. And I think we certainly need to look at that as one of the things that we weigh, maybe not the only thing, because the economy, I believe, is getting better than it was back then. But certainly, at the end of the day, we have to look at ourselves as policymakers and say, were we going for the big bucks? And were those big bucks assured Are the assumptions they're using reasonable assumptions? Are they exaggerated or maybe generous assumptions? I think these are all things that we have to decide as policymakers when we make a decision on a contract like this. Ultimately, it's up to us as policymakers to do it. As a business person, I try not to always assume everything is going to go good. I try to think about what is the worst-case scenario and what do we do in case of the worst-case scenario. And I think as our board members are making this decision, we ought to think about this as well. What is the worst-case scenario? And if we're okay with that, is that going to be good for the public, who is ultimately the ones that we're responsible for, too? So those are my questions. Thank you.
We have a motion on the table. You want to recite the motion? You want to recite the motion?
To overturn the recommendation contingent upon receipt of an irrevocable full letter of credit.
Speak louder. They can't hear you.
Jump in anytime. Overturn the recommendation.
I can do that. Okay, it's basically to overturn the recommendation and award to Titan pursuant to its fixed fee bid proposal contingent on them securing an irrevocable full letter of credit acceptable to Metro in the amount of the 1 year of minimum annual guarantee payments to be renewed annually.
Okay, motion, who seconded it? Who seconded the motion? Nigerian seconds.
Mr. Chair, can you ask staff to clear up whether the 1 year guarantee means that we have full, if for example, if it's $20 million per year, do we get the full $20 million for that year or do we get less than that? Is it a discounted amount?
The letter of credit, if it's for the amount that's guaranteed for 1 year, would fill in anything that we did not receive in that guarantee for that 1 year.
And if for example, the contractor defaults, does that mean that we can sue them for breach of contract and get the contract terminated, or does that mean we still have to go to court and fight it out and still be stuck with a contractor who doesn't perform?
There's a lot of potential hypotheticals. In the case of Orange County, when this occurred, the issue was if the firm, Titan, walks away and it takes us 6 months to re-procure, they could be facing a loss of revenue for the period of time in which they had no coverage. It would depend upon whatever the conditions were that the negotiations were at that time. The letter of credit would provide some protection against such an event. So to that degree, that would be good. We would, of course, seek to make this as tightly constructed as we could.
There are a couple of other items. One, you could also pursue the costs for the re-procurement from the contractor in default. And then we as the agency could try and assume continued negotiations with the advertising contracts if the contractor is in default.
Can you restate that? I got kind of a distraction over here. I didn't hear all of what you said.
In the case of a default, you would call the letter of credit, and then you could also...
Ms. Bybee is responding to the director's question. Can we post the motion up on the board, please? Sorry.
You can pursue the costs of the termination of default, and then we could have the opportunity to try and assume the advertising contracts as the agency, so that would lessen the impact of the default on the contract.
So in terms of contract law, does that mean we cannot have another contractor come in while we're going through this litigation?
I think it would call for a re-procurement.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Which would take some period of time.
That means that we may be without advertising revenue while we're going through the litigation.
That would be the risk.
Okay. Okay, open the roll.
I think the board's not working.
It's so. Open the roll.
Now it's working.
Same working.
Okay, motion fails.
I'll move that we award the staff recommendation to CBS with the recommendation is made to ensure that there is not, that the contract cannot be assumed without permission of Metro.
Okay. Mr. Katz?
After a second.
I second that, but okay.
I have a substitute motion.
Substitute motion. Okay.
In place of John's motion, I'd move that we extend the existing contract 6 months under the current terms of that contract, that we, or 4 months, I'm not, we can do four, but anyway, let me ask, I'll ask Art, it can be 4 or 6, but I'll ask Art technically, but that the re-procurement be, or however it's properly characterized, be one that is net revenue, it's sealed bid, net revenue to MTA plus guarantees with the MTA terms and conditions, sealed bid, winner takes all.
Mr. Chair, as regards to duration, I'd feel a little more comfortable with 6. That would give us about 8.5 months to get it done. If you go a 4 month extension, we'd probably get it done, but we might be up against it. You'd normally take 4 to 6 months to get something like this done. If it's a 4 month extension, we would have 7 months now. So if something went wrong, we'd be in a bit of a bind. We'll do our best to get it done. If we're going to do a re-procurement, if that's the direction, we will do our best to get it done and back to the board before the expiration of the extension.
Mr. Leahy, we should also condition it upon negotiation with the current vendor to extend.
Correct. Well, I would add to the motion, if the current vendor doesn't extend, award the contract to Titan. I think they'd probably extend, just a rough guess. And in the motion, if I didn't say, when I said MTA terms and conditions, that means the letters of credit, et cetera. But I think the decision should be made on net revenue, the MTA, and the best guarantee we can get for it.
I'll second it.
Mr. Fasana.
Yes. I oppose the motion. I think that this contract went out that we had before us today with those particular options. I think we had a choice of awarding based on net revenue. I mean, my personal feeling was that the $7.25 million was worth taking. I also think that staff has many other things to focus on as we're trying to build out our system rather than going through and re-procuring this contract. I think we should make a decision today. If we want to reduce the $7.25 million to mitigate risk, we can make it up through fares or other means in terms of the costs. But I would suggest we award today, and I'm prepared to vote for CBS today.
Mr. Chair, yeah, I just a fine point here.
For Titan a minute ago.
This proposal.
I was.
These proposals were.
We should get it off the table.
We're evaluated best on best value, and so the current motion would change that into just what the net out is with the warranties that have been listed.
Well,
and I guess
you say best value, but yet you gave up $7.25 million.
Based on an assessment.
So I'm having a hard time quantifying or qualifying or validating best value when you leave $7.25 million for bus operations on the table, and then you come back to us at every budget meeting, every ops meeting, that we have to do this, cut here, do this, because we don't have enough money. So best value leaving $7.25 million on the table just don't make sense to me.
Well, I appreciate that, but as was described, there was an assessment of risk and other features included in the evaluation by the staff committee.
There were assumptions made.
Well, if I could, yeah, I mean, the reason I made the motion the way I did, and you know, I'm fine with 6 months if that's the best, 6 months or sooner. Or let's put it this way, except by not more than 6 months, but let's try and get it out in 4 months if the board agrees. I don't like the idea of leaving money on the table. John, I don't like the idea of going back to fares for it either, and I know you don't either. I know that. But so that's why I would say, and the reason I said rebid is because people are throwing offers in verbally. I want stuff in writing. I want something I can rely on, and I want to see it on paper. Let them go toe-to-toe. Let them put their best effort down there on paper and have faith in their in their bid. And the other piece of this, so we don't leave that seven there, is let's see the guarantees they put up on all the money they're proposing. You know, sort of a Darwinist approach to the bid process here. But
I had two bid enhancements right here today from both sides.
Yeah.
So,
Mr. Chair.
I agree. That's why I'm seconding your motion.
Mr. Chair.
But first, let me just say, I thought they both put their best foot forward, and so we should come to a decision today instead of having another 6 month, 4 month, 3 month, 1 month delay. So what we ought to do is go forward and vote on the recommendation that was made by the executive director. If that fails, then look at other options.
Well, I second the substitute motion.
Mr. Chair, let me just speak to the motion that's on the table right now. Net revenue, I think, is a good thing, but I think we need to look deeper than just net revenue. Anyone can propose that they're going to give you a large amount of dollars, but if you can't prove it, what good is it? I think just saying net revenue with a bunch of projections and assumptions that may not be realistic may be setting us up for a pie in the sky that won't occur. And so I think it needs to be more than just net revenue. I think we really have to validate that they can actually do what they're saying they're going to do. I think in some cases, some of the proposers have said they've done some things in the community or with local advertisers. I think we need to look at the track record. Have they actually done it? And weigh that in as well. And not just look at net revenue as the sole criteria that we use.
Mr. Chairman, I understand, but I mean, at the same time, the same kind of analysis, assumptions, and things were made to leave $7.25 million on the table. So, I don't know what changes that. I mean,
I'd like to do. The intent of my motion, unless Charles tells me I can't, is that we had two firms that were responsive. We had the bids. We came to where we are today. I'd love to award this today. I don't see seven votes to award it today, Mr. Chairman. That's the reason I'm making the suggestion. But I would also, Charles, I'm talking about these two companies, not the world starting. I'm not talking about starting over, but call it, extra innings or whatever we want to do it in this procurement. Let these guys, put their money and their guarantees on the table, and let's open an envelope and see.
I think they put a lot of money on the table already. I mean, it's not like they gave you a penny each. So.
No, that's true.
And I think we have to make a decision. Time is money. Any delays could end up costing the district more money than is on the table right now. I mean, the economy is not going to be that rosy in 2013. And we have to be realistic with what we have before us. So you have, I would say that the two parties went through extensive negotiations and extensive meetings on each of their respective proposals. And it's fair to both sides that a decision is made today and not put them in purgatory.
Well, we have a substitute motion before.
Vote on the substitute motion. A yes vote is for a... contrary to not more than 6 months extension, a yes vote is that, and a no vote would be to vote it down and vote on the original recommendation by the
right.
Director. Okay, open the roll on the substitute motion. Okay, motion fails. So go on the main motion. Open the roll to.
The main motion is the staff recommendation while also securing the revisions in terms of assignment that we have authorization that we can grant on that, which was stated from the podium earlier.
Yeah. On the assignment stuff, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, open roll. So motion fails. So we're going to have advertised free buses in the future.
That may get the 7 votes easy, Mike. I mean, I'll make my motion again if there's interest in doing that. But if there's not, I won't. I mean,
no.
Because otherwise, we're in limbo. My motion, at least, is a path. I mean. Or I'm open to a different path.
The contract does, current contract goes till December, and so if there's no action, we will come back to you at the next board meeting.
Yeah, come back next board meeting.
Okay.
All right. Next item.
Of course, in the interest of full disclosure, that means that all those people are going to bother us for another 30 days.
I didn't vote for that.
Here.
Okay. Thank you. On item 62, I'm going to give the gavel to Director Du Bois because I have a conflict.
Bueno, otra vez vine a exponer un proyecto y no me hablaron, oiga.
Please, right now, please exit quietly. See what she wants. Okay. We're going to do... Director Du Bois is going to do item 62 because I have a conflict.
Okay, item 62 is a request to award a 7-year contract to Consolidated Disposal Service, the lowest responsive and responsible bidder, for a not-to-exceed amount of $6.9 million and additional contract modification authority for $1 million for changes that will be related to the addition of new facilities that we may be adding during the 7-year period. The price includes both annual escalation as well as... as well as additional service over the term of the contract.
Hang on a second. If there are not enough eligible voters...
Are there not?
Well, we're checking. I mean, I was prepared to move it, so.
5, 6.
But conflicts.
There's 8.
Is.
I have 8.
Is that here? Where's that?
You have 8 currently here.
But. Oh.
That's only 6. So.
We lose 2, we lose a quorum. The whole item, not the entire agenda. Is there any that...
I count 7. No, but Villaraigosa?
There's
1, 2, 3.
Not here. Michelle, we got
Michelle.
It.
Leave it alone.
You don't have 7 votes on that.
Ridley Thomas is.
So this will be 10 years before the next meeting. Thank you.
Going on, but they heard me when I gaveled. Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any items that we can approve right now that don't have any controversy?
One thing I would like to do is make reopen CEO's report for just a minute.
Okay.
I'd like to give you just a brief summary of our preparations for Carmageddon, which is here again. The bride of Carmageddon returns tomorrow. So a brief report on our actions and where we think we are, please. Real brief.
Good afternoon. Yvette Rapoz, Director of Construction Relations. Just a quick update on the public outreach effort for Carmageddon 2 this weekend. Very similar to last year, we had media buys that included print, ad, and radio. We held two community meetings. The second one on September 6th included the Unified Command. We've had several public information officer meetings and a traffic management plan. In addition to that, we have reached out to all of the neighborhood groups that we did last year, the institutions within the 10-mile alignment, entertainment venues, amusement parks, public and private colleges. We have a list of over 6,000 stakeholders in a wide area throughout the region, and we've continued to communicate with them on a weekly basis through email blast over the last 8 weeks. We've also reached out to Google Maps and the GPS providers TomTom, Garmin, and Magellan, who have agreed to include the closures on their devices, and are working very closely with several regional partners, LA World Airports, the Bob Hope Burbank Airport, the Los Angeles Convention and Visitors Bureau, emergency providers, the ports, you name it, we're probably reaching out to them. I know Mark has also had a lot of media interest, and I'll let Mark talk about that.
Mark Lemon, Metro PR. Nonstop media activity, both mainstream and also social media. There's about more than 30 different agencies working with us to spread the word. It's going to get very intense starting early tomorrow morning. There's at 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, the city's Emergency Operations Center is going to be activated. There'll be a press conference there. We'll have we've already taken the media out to scout out the construction zone. We'll be having nonstop coverage from Friday night there all the way through Monday morning. So we've got a lot of good coverage, including the LA Times today. There's also an editorial in the Times. We've had a number of press events, and we keep putting the word out. And we had a very good coverage this week of the Sunset Bridge opening.
I will add, we also have a very active Eat, Play, Shop Local campaign that we did not have last year, and so that's new. We've gotten a lot of great response. We have over 300 participants for that. And I'd also like to add that I'm working very closely with Murthy, and we'll be providing regular updates to Metro executive staff and the board throughout the weekend. Happy to entertain any questions that you might have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We only have 5 members, so.
We have 6. We have Director Fasana.
Mr. Chair, if you like, we can do the civil rights report and the and the report on the rail car procurement.
Okay, rail car procurement.
I'll just do that real quickly in the interest of time. This is the Breda car purchases. We've received all 50 cars. All 50 have been accepted. The 50th car that arrived has been run now in Revenue Service. So. We're wrapping that up. Black civil rights?
I told you Breda was a good company.
Okay, on civil rights?
We never listen.
But on the Breda card, one thing, again, I would like a detailed report for next month as to who was responsible for signing off on the specifications that did not meet our specifications, so that we had cars that are undersized as to seat capacity and height.
Yes, sir.
And what procedures and protocols have been put in place so any future projects or rail acquisitions will never repeat that same mistake that occurred in this contract.
Pleased to do so. I am happy to note that we have a much more intent management oversight activity now occurring, but we'll be pleased to come back next month with a more detailed report.
Okay, thank you.
Civil rights?
Civil rights.
Good morning, directors. Just quickly, we know that we had a compliance review done last July. We've been working to rectify the deficiencies that were found during that review. There were five deficiencies found. There are two remaining. Actually, of those two, one of them was a limited English proficiency, and we have actually completed that work ahead of schedule, and we have sent it off to the FTA for their review and hopefully their approval. So the one remaining area of deficiency that we've been working on is the service and fair equity. And in past presentations, I've told you that we submitted a methodology to the FTA. They came back to us and said that when we approve it, you'll have 60 days to do the work. Well, there's been a change in that. The Department of Justice, the federal government, is now requiring that the FTA actually do that work. So we're in the process of transferring the information to the FTA. There's about 5 gigabytes of data, thousands of files, and we really don't have any idea when they might complete that. It's in their hands. On the fair equity side, we have an approved methodology from the FTA, and we are now doing the work, and we expect that the analysis will be completed in November, and we will see what happens with that analysis. So in terms of schedule, all the work that Metro is responsible for will be complete at this point, I think, by January next year. The timing for the FTA completion of the service equity is an unknown. The other interesting thing that's happened is that 2 weeks ago, the FTA released new FTA Title VI guidance, and it comes into effect on October 1st of this year. There are significant revisions to the service equity sections, resulting in a much easier analysis. So the analysis that has been agreed to be completed on our past service changes is actually a different methodology than the one that's contained in the new methodology or new guidance that's been released. Otherwise, the sections in the guidance are generally as expected, and we will be coming back to you next month with some changes to the administrative code to comply with the new guidance. Also, the FTA last week were in town, and they did hold some training. A number of people from Metro, as well as all the other counties in Southern California, all the other transit operators did attend, and it was quite successful. So we all have a good understanding of the new regulations. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. We'll go on to our public comment. Okay, Mr. Jose Rodriguez, John Walsh, and Arnold Sachs.
Good morning, everyone, on this MTA board meeting. First of all, I want to begin saying this is a terrible job from the security guy. Everybody just left, so I'm almost speaking to the wall. So what unrespectful is that? And, okay, MTA needs to work on this really important, you know. We hopefully this help us to bring us back all the service that it was cut, you know, without making sense, just affecting everyone in the LA County. And somebody needs to look into the first. Sometimes the first are too high for the service that MTA is providing. What is MTA is providing? The buses are dirty, graffiti, trash, and compared to other bus services in the LA County, even Foothill Transit, Commuter Express buses, LADOT are clean. MTA, I don't know what. And you guys asking for too much money? Please check on that too. Thank you very much.
Chairman, I will note that it is easier to clean buses without advertising.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. You made fools of yourself today. Thankfully, it's front of the LA Times. They won't do the story. Where is the mayor? I asked that question in Spanish. I can tell you right now from his schedule. He was scheduled at 9:30 a.m. at the Los Angeles Fire Department Frank Hotchkin Memorial Center. That's where he spent his time rather than at this meeting. That's a matter of record. I can't believe it. He thought Cass could pull it off. He didn't. Where was Reyes? You got rid of Weezer, and then Reyes walked away before the vote. And incidentally, your son, Mr. Kanabi, the check will be in the mail for what you did today, because you, in fact, your son has is a lobbyist who, in fact, is working for Titan.
Mr. Sachs, thank you for reminding me. Fortunately, you're not my son.
Yes, thank you. Good morning again, Arnold Sachs. The civil rights, the cost that have been incurred by MTA in this never-ending battle against smoke. I'd just like to point out in today's Daily Breeze, there's a UC-approved $1 million settlement. In addition to the $1 million settlement, the UC spent $320,000 for a law firm review, $88,686 for salaries and other fees to Berkeley officials who worked on that review, $120,000 for a firm to provide real-time crisis management, $445,000 for a consulting firm, and $230,000 for an internal affairs investigation. Can you give me an idea, just out of curiosity, how much this legal fees have been paid in the civil rights action where nothing has been accomplished except a drain on operations?
Okay. We will now have a committee of the whole in executive session. Well, Mr. Sachs, did you already speak? You were called?
There's more public comment.
Oh, we just did public comment. What were the ones you just gave me? Oh. Okay, Craig Miller. Craig.
Good afternoon, Chairman and board members. I hate to break with tradition, but I just want to say I think you're all swell. And more to the point, I think Supervisor Yaroslavsky's motion is particularly great in an effort to bring the advertising policies of the County of Los Angeles back into conformity with the priorities and the culture and the sensibility and the community values of the people who live in Los Angeles County. MTA, to its credit, in the earliest days of the epidemic, ran ads which were crucial to informing LA County's populace of the urgency of addressing the epidemic. It is a proud history of promoting important nonprofit messages that really are some of the most valuable messages that ever appear on the sides of transit buses. Selling products is great, fair game, but uplifting people, helping one another, creating a better and more compassionate and involved society, that's the highest calling for ads. And I thank MTA for getting back on track with that policy, and I thank the supervisor for his leadership.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I can just thank Craig for the cooperative spirit in which he's working with us, and we'll look forward to doing that some more. Thank you.
Okay, Joseph Gonzalez, Fred Ortega, Arch Villarreal, Leland Dooley, Ron Miller, Daniel Keller, Larry Moore. Yes, sir.
Yes. I'm here to talk about the lack of fair.
Give your name.
My name is Daniel Keller. I'm here to talk again about no fair enforcement. I was here at 720, the red line right out on Alameda. I watched the dog sit there for security, but no one's checking. People are, how they get away with it is what they do is they buy just bus fare here, then they take the rail for free. The red light shows everyone who is not paying. I like to know whether that red light keeps account of how many people are cheating. I counted 75 people in 10 minutes that did not pay. And you can do that every day. The way to tell success that you're doing fare enforcement, people will pay for weekly or monthly bus passes and that amount will go up. We should have monthly times when you give whether you've gotten more people to do it. Right now, you failed. I've tried to get TV crews to film it, and that would embarrass you guys, but they don't think it's very important. That's way more than the $20 million you're talking about a year for advertising.
Could you, Mr. Lay, once again, check on the enforcement of that provision?
Yes, sir.
Sir.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Lee Dolly, representing the 710. We had quite a presentation here, but everybody's had to go home, so I'm sorry we don't have it all. But in any event, we came here because we understood that there would be a demonstration of some sort and a request of the board. We'd only like to remind the board, if we may, that the EIR is underway. We'd like to see it completed. The truth will be known when it is completed. And Measure R. Measure R was what this whole boat's about. We would not be here without Measure R, a great boom to travel here in Southern California. And we think that the 710 deserves consideration in its fullest because of that. I'd like to hand up letters from our different representatives. Judy Chu. Mike Ng, Barbara Mesita on behalf of the COG, which is the San Gabriel Valley COG, and that's 31 cities. And we had a gentleman here which wanted to speak to you from the buildings trades in Orange County, L.A., and he had a lot to say. So we thank you, and we'll be on our way.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Harry Baldwin. And then Kevin, with no last name after Harry. Okay, Harry.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm following up with what Lee Dolly had to say. I'm the new director of the 710 Freeway Coalition, and what brought me here today was I was concerned. I attended a meeting in Pasadena where a director Nigerian had said he was going to kill the tunnel option for the 710. And once again, the coalition we have for the 710 is to encourage you to continue your EIR, to review all aspects of the five options you have. We're hoping that you will give consideration to the tunnel option because we feel that is one of the best ones that provides the traffic relief and is also the one option that is included in the RTP that was issued by SCAG. And in order to be in that RTP, it also had to demonstrate that it met the mandates from the EPA for for pollution reduction and air quality. That plan was certified in July, so it's showing that the 710 freeway and the tunnel option does reduce pollution also. We look forward to working with you in the future, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Jose Rodriguez. Teresa Biel Sebastian.
Once again, my name is Jose Rodriguez. We do have to check on the fair enforcement thing. Actually, I approved that too. And one of the things I want to mention on the rails, I think we should mention those announcements. Those are closing stand back in Spanish, maybe Chinese, other language. I'm on the train, and there's a lot of people when this has the message, stand up, the doors are closing, still people are coming in. And that's causing a minute, seconds delay, and that's a concern as me as a rider because that's 1 minute or 2 minutes that I'm wasting because a lot of people are not listening. Well, it looks like we have in LA a lot of people don't understand English at this time, so we need to make those messages in other languages also because that's a lot of time I'm killing. And I want to talk a little bit about what happened last Tuesday on the 18th. An MTA driver of the line 51 or 52 was almost fighting with a security guy on Westlake and Alvarado. I mean, Alvarado and 7th Street. And the police came by. They didn't pay any attention. Where's Mr. Villaraigosa? He's not listening to me. Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, Jessica Meany. Be followed by Bill Fruniel. Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, board members. My name is Jessica Meany, and I'm the Southern California Policy Director for the Safe Routes to School National Partnership. I'm here to submit some information regarding active transportation and how our students travel to school in Los Angeles County that we just published this week. I think you'll be interested to know that over 19% of all trips made in Los Angeles County, according to the 2009 National Household Travel Survey data, are made walking and biking. But we're concerned because 1% of all transportation funding is going towards these modes, according to Metro's 2009 long-range transportation plan. Also concerned in light of safety issues, here's another statistic for you. 39% of all roadway fatalities here in Los Angeles County are bike and peds. So 20% of the trips, 1% of the funding, and close to 40% of all roadway deaths. I'd like to submit this information for your review, and hopefully you will consider it.
Thank you, ma'am. Gretchen Knutson, Gretchen. Don Jones. Janet Irwin.
Señor, disculpe que yo sea tan atrevida, pero la mera verdad creo que pues somos personas civilizadas para en verdad darme un reporte sellado por ustedes. Si no va, si no va a acontecer eso, pues no. Pues sí. Sí, firmé otra vez el papel.
Okay, Don Jones, Gretchen Knutson, Janet Irwin, James Belt. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Gretchen.
You can lift it up. Lift up the microphone. There you go.
Hi, Gretchen Knutson speaking on the 710. Chairman, I want to commend you and the board and the staff for removing some of the nonsensical options off the table, but there's still one that's on the table, the F7. And it's important that you understand that right now under the alternatives analysis, that F7 option is being analyzed without a toll. Everyone in this room can agree that it's impossible for this project to be built without using a toll. So therefore, the performance scores that are being used to justify continued study within the EIR are based in on a reality that in no way can ever be real world. Seattle just announced, the Department of Transportation just announced this week on their own tunnel project that they are going to end up with a toll shortfall. They originally had needed to get $400 million to cover the cost. They had to reduce that toll projection to $200 million, and right now they're looking at diversion factors between 20 and 40% diversion of their tunnel. Please take the F7 off or analyze it with tolls. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, board members.
Afternoon.
James Henry Belt. I'm the one that sent you all the letter. I was arrested out front on the steps of the main headquarters here on 9/12. And one of your security guards told the bus operator to tell the sheriff department that I told her that I would kill her if she didn't get on her bus. And that's a criminal threat and goes with that a felony. I spent 2 days in the county jail because of this lie that the security guard told. I was on my way to having a colonoscopy the next day, and all while I'm in the jail, I got this problem with my body. And the sheriff's department treat me like I'm dirt in the jail. So I've been falsely accused. And what am I to do?
Okay, let me ask Mr. Taylor, we can find somebody to talk to this gentleman. Go over to the side and we'll get somebody to talk to you.
Right.
Okay, Mr. Fisher, Charles Fisher, Tina Miller, Richard Nelson.
Good afternoon, Charlie Fisher, 140 South Avenue 57 in Highland Park. I have been dealing with this freeway issue on the 710 basically as long as I can remember. I was fighting this thing before I was old enough to vote. This has been a frustrating period for all of us, a long frustrating period, on a proposal that dates back to the 1930s. It didn't make a lot of sense then. It certainly doesn't make a lot of sense now. Studies have shown that the freeway, the tunnel option, would actually increase traffic on the 210 freeway and make it unsustainable. The 210 eastbound has become a parking lot. It didn't used to be, but when they extended it, it did. The biggest problem here is this is a expensive project. It is a project that the state of California cannot afford. There is no federal funding for it anymore. And we are asking that the tunnel be taken off the table and the other four options seriously looked at. Also, just a reminder, this option should have been looked at in conjunction with the 710 South as well under the EIR process. There's a splitting of EIRs here that when they're related, they should have been looked at together. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Tina Miller. I live in Garbanza, enclave in Los Angeles in Highland Park. I wanted to talk about Measure J. There's some concerns about the measure and about the monies in Measure J and the half-cent tax that will be put on L.A. County taxpayers. Our current deficit in the state of California is $19 billion. And some of the concerns is that the monies will surpass the deficit, and the SI 710 extension is going to cost, we don't even know how much. They can't even come up with a number. Anyway, they can't come up with a number. The Boston's Big Dig ended up being $22 billion. It took 17 years for a tunnel of 3.5 miles to be built. How much is it going to cost? First they said 4.5 miles. Then Doug Failing the other night in the El Sereno Community Liaison meeting, or in the community forum meeting, said it would be 6.3 miles. Nobody even knows how long it's going to be, how much it's going to cost, and how much of the Measure J money is going to go toward
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Chair, I just say, there is no Measure J money in the 710 project. That's funded in Measure R. Measure J does include a provision that would allow the board to remove money from the 710 project more rapidly several years earlier than Measure R would provide for.
Yes, sir.
Reiner Nielsen, resident of Pasadena. I'm here to ask you to demand better work from Metro on their latest information and their 710 study they presented at the TAC. What it has are four alternatives that deal with local community travel, comparing that against one regional through traffic, which is the tunnel. And when you look at their own information, it clearly shows that what it does is it takes traffic off the 5 freeway, sticks it over on the 710 and 210 corridor. And when you look at the information they present to you, you have to look at it critically. And I'd like to leave you with some summary words of this. Deception, perception, distractions, refractions of truth. Logic, honesty of thought distorted, wants contorted, needs aborted, the crystal knife of their sincerity broken off in our hearts. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Jeff Thomas, Philip Curtis, Antonio Lopez. The Bible says patience is a virtue. Yes, sir.
I'm Jeffrey Thomas. I'm senior counsel at the Paul Hastings Law Firm. We are pro bono legal counsel to AIDS Project Los Angeles, and I'm just following up on the remarks of Craig Miller. Part of my practice involves First Amendment and commercial speech issues, and I just wanted to make the general comment that it's always better to try to resolve those issues without going to one extreme or the other, and I believe that we can resolve those issues of speech on advertising by balancing interests. And I believe that the proposition or the motion number 73 is a step in the right direction.
Good afternoon. My name is Phil Curtis. I'm Director of Government Affairs at AIDS Project Los Angeles. I'd like to thank Supervisor Yaroslavsky for his motion to reconsider MTA bus advertising policy. I hope that the staff and the board will craft a more nuanced policy that will give nonprofits like AIDS Project Los Angeles, the American Cancer Society, Red Cross, MS Society, and others an opportunity to publicly advertise their messages on MTA buses. In Los Angeles County, the government, Los Angeles County, funds AIDS
treatment, care, programs, and services for people living with AIDS, but they contract with nonprofits like AIDS Project Los Angeles and many other community-based organizations to do the work. A restrictive policy limited to commercial entities only hinders our public-private partnership and overall diminishes our capacity to fight the epidemic. Thank you very much.
Thank you. John, yes, sir. You require an interpreter? Okay.
Buenas tardes.
Good afternoon.
Parte de la mesa directiva. Yo sé que ustedes no están listos para dar un voto como a las compañías. CBS, Capital, or otras compañías fuertes.
Good afternoon, members of the board. I know that you guys aren't ready to give your vote to companies like CBS and Capital and many others.
Porque yo lo veo que es la mitad de la mesa directiva. Ahora también lo que se ocupa es a estas lavaderas de compañías, estos lavaderos, apretarle las tuercas porque el gobierno necesita mucho dinero.
I know that it's only half of the board that is here, but what we need to do with these companies, these washboards, is to tie up the nuts because the government needs a lot of money.
Ustedes saben que se ocupa mucho dinero para puentes, para pagarles a maestros, para carreteras, para las restablecer la ciudad.
Do you know that a lot of money is needed for bridges, to pay the teachers, to do the roads and reestablish the city?
Y no podemos ir allí nada más por una tarjeta, nada más que nos den de crédito por 18 centavos. Ustedes saben que eso no es posible.
And we cannot go by a credit card that's giving us only 18 cents. You know that is not possible.
También los pobres no podemos pagar los taxis por los ricos, por esas compañías, como lo están haciendo las compañías constructoras. Subir los taxis, subir el gas para nosotros pagar todo eso, ¿verdad? Y ustedes dan el permiso ahí nomás.
Also, we, the poor people, cannot keep paying taxes, keep paying gas like the big companies do, and you guys will just go ahead and give your permission for all that.
Everybody, you watch what you sign.
Thank you. My name is Antonio.
Thank you. Okay. John Walsh, Malcolm Klugman, and Arnold Sachs.
I defer. I won, you lost. I got a smile on my face.
Okay, you suggested patience. Okay, I got here at 8:30 for a meeting that's supposed to start at 9, and you guys don't show up till 10 of 10. That's the patience I shouldn't have to do. Starting in January, let's actually go back to 9:30, the way we used to be, have the meeting start at 9:30, and have the press, which has left already, publish the names of the people who don't show up on time, so that these meetings can't start on time. What are you, higher life forms or something? Show up on time and have these meetings be on time. I want to relate an incident. I'm coming back from an Angels game. There's this deputy on the train talking to a middle-aged couple of tourists. He tells them about how to use the MTA system, but he says to them, don't ride the green line or the blue line unless you have one of these, and he points to his weapon. I want to know, is the law enforcement believe that there's danger for people riding or on the platforms of those things? We got to see what's happening. Or is that a prevalent attitude of law enforcement?
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Sachs.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Arnold Sachs. I'd just like to point out, it was interesting, fascinating conversation. Should we renegotiate? Should we do this? Should we do that? This is an article from the LA Times from October 30th, 2008. How much would Measure R raise? Proponents say $30 billion to $40 billion, but it depends on how much sales tax revenue grows over the 30-year life of the Measure R tax hike. The two prior sales tax increases in 1980 and 1999 each raised $686 million in 2007. So if you have that much money available and you have that information, why are you renegotiating for Measure J? That's your renegotiation. Let's get a new vote out to extend Measure R. You talk about the contracts and all the information. Why didn't you tell the truth to the public? How do you come up with $1 billion a year when your last sales tax revenue audit says $687 million? Yes, thank you. Another wonderful meeting. Joke's on us.